Hey, take your Bibles. Take your Bibles. We're in a two-part series. This is a mini-series on He is Risen. So He is Risen 2018. And the first message is Jesus from start to finished. And traditionally it's from start to finish, right? But what did Jesus say on the cross? He said, "It is finished." So the first message is Jesus from start to finished. And then next week it's going to be Jesus from up to down, because what did he do on the Sunday? He rose, and he said, "Someday I will return." So this week, Jesus from start to finish. Next week, Jesus from up to down. And so that's what we want to do. We want to talk about Jesus. He's risen from start to finish, from up to down. And so what I've got for you is just a little visual to watch. And if you're at the back and you want to turn around and watch it on the TV, it's a little bit clearer there. Every year, I buy something for the annual church camping trip. The annual church camping trip is the first weekend of May, most years. This year, we're going up to DelVal Park in Livermore, and it's just always a good time. And I don't know if there's any more spaces left. I'm not the person in charge, but it's a great time. So every year, I tell Dawn I'm going to buy something for my camping trip. And this year, guess what I bought? I bought this little thing that burns wood pellets. And it does it without smoke. It's got a beautiful flame. It puts out a lot of heat. And it's just really interesting. But the whole thing is, and it's supposed to restart. And so let me just see here if I can get it to start again. There it goes. Did it start? There it goes. But the thing is, when you put the wood pellets in, they don't just catch fire, do they? What do you have to do? You got to light the fire. You got to fan the flames. And this is the whole thing, that as we move into this time of year where we talk about Easter, where we talk about Resurrection Sunday, where we talk about what Christ has done, we need to light the fire of our lives. We need to fan the flames. We need to allow Christ to burn bright in our lives. We need to do something other than just kind of just keeping it to ourselves. And so what we want to do is we want to look at Scripture. And we want to just realize, what has Christ done? Because people, you may meet somebody, it's like, well, hey, what is Easter about? What does it mean that Jesus rose from the dead? And what I want to say this morning is I want to talk about Jesus and our confidence in him. Because Jesus is the promised Messiah, we can trust his promises. That's the nail we want to pound this morning. Because Jesus is the promised Messiah, we can trust his promises. So here we go. I'm going to give you some scripture, then we're going to wrap it up. So here's the first one. In the beginning, Jesus the start. In the beginning was the Word. Now this is a term that in Hebrew meant the person of God as he visibly and as he verbally spoke to people. All through the Old Testament, it would say the Word of the Lord appeared to this prophet. Moses would be up on a mountain, and suddenly there's a burning bush. And out of that burning bush comes what? A voice. This idea of the Word carries with it this idea of God revealing himself and talking to you and revealing to himself who he is and what he wants you to do. But notice this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on in verse 14, it's going to say that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And so you look at verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. I'm not quite sure what that means. And the Word was with God. Okay, not quite sure what that means. And the Word was God. Well, what does that mean? But you get to verse 14 where it says, and the Word became flesh. And you can walk away with no other conclusion than that this is talking about who? Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God, who from the very beginning was not only with God, communing with God, but he was God. And so that's the first verse. The next verse is John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, it's he tabernacled among us. He was God in flesh. And we have seen his glory, his evidence. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, Jesus came as evidence of God's love, God's presence, God's power. And when you saw Jesus, you saw God. But there's more. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Always one of my favorite verses. Why? Why did the Word become flesh? Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. In other words, he took on flesh, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. There's a statement. Why did Jesus take on flesh? That he might die and destroy the power of death and destroy Satan himself. But let's keep going. Six eternal truths concerning Jesus. Jesus from start to finish. If Jesus is who he is, then Jesus, as he fulfills what the Bible says about him from start to finish, he will continue to fulfill his promises. Here, write these down. Six eternal truths concerning Jesus. Truth number one, he is the promised sacrifice. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Isaac said to his father, so Abraham has a son in his old age. His name is Isaac. And one day God says to him, he says, Abraham, I want to test you. I want to see if you love me and me only. Take your son, your only son. Just like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his what? His one and only son, or actually his who? His only begotten son, his one and only son. He says, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, as they were going up the mountain, Father, behold, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And what do we see in verse 8? But the promise of one who would die in place of another. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide for himself. Notice this. Oops. Notice this. Exodus chapter 12. He is the lamb. Hey, Wayne, could you click me over to the next one? I don't know why it's doing that. Well, let's see. It's Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. All right. Exodus 12, verse 7. There we go. Thank you. Notice this. Number one, God will provide the sacrifice. Number two, six eternal truths about Jesus. His blood will be the payment for sin. His blood will give deliverance. In Exodus chapter 12, they're about to leave Egypt. And God says, he says, from this moment on, this is the first day of your calendar year. This is the first day of your calendar. This is the day, and you will begin this day by sacrificing a lamb and having what is called the Passover meal. Because if you do this, death will pass over. And notice this. You take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And the amazing thing is, and I don't take this too figuratively, okay? But the interesting thing is, if you put blood up here and it drips down, and then you put blood here and blood here, what symbol are you recreating? Think about it. Put the blood on the lintel. Put the blood on the doorposts. It's very interesting, but the main thing is this. Blood gave deliverance. Jesus, when he died on the cross, was our deliverer. Notice what it says. And Wayne, you're going to have to help me with this because it looks like we got a little problem. But notice this in Exodus 12:13, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you and no plague will befall you. In other words, the blood will save you. And then next slide. Notice this, number three. Jesus is not just the Lamb. Jesus is not just the Lamb who would die, but He is our high priest, and He is the one who carries away our sin. He is the Lamb and the goat and the priest. This is Leviticus 16. This is called the Day of Atonement. And this is where the entire nation would gather once a year. And the high priest would take two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And then Aaron, who was the high priest, he would cast lots over the two goats. And one goat would be sacrificed. His blood would be shed as a sacrifice. But with the other goat, Aaron the high priest would lay his hands on that goat, symbolically placing all the sin of the nation on that goat, and then that goat was taken out into the wilderness and released, symbolically showing that the sin had been carried away. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, and he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The interesting thing is that in Leviticus, on the Day of Atonement, you had a priest, you had a goat who was slain, and then you had a goat who the sin was laid upon it. Well, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He has all three roles. He's our high priest. He's our sacrificial lamb. He is our scapegoat. Our sin was placed upon Him when He died for us. And notice, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins, and he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away. Jesus is the priest, the lamb, and the scapegoat. Next slide. Jesus is our Redeemer. We're just going through some scripture. We could have done this for hours, but I just wanted to take Jesus from start to finished. Notice this. Job says this, I know that my Redeemer lives. Job said this 2,000 years before Jesus came. Job said he knew that his Redeemer lives. But he then says this, and he shall, at the last day, he will stand upon the earth. He is eternal. Jesus is our eternal Redeemer. Next one. He is the one who was pierced. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced. Jesus is God in flesh who was pierced, who died for my sin and yours. And then number six. He's the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 29 of John chapter 1, the next day, John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so you go through all of these verses, you look at it. God will provide the Lamb, Abraham said. Take a lamb and put its blood on the doorposts of your home. Take a lamb and sacrifice it. Take another goat and send it out into the wilderness with the sin of the people placed upon it. Jesus is the final lamb. That's why we can say he is our Savior who died for us. That's Jesus from the start. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He always existed. He's eternal. But when he took on flesh, he came that he might die for you and for me. What's number two? Number two is this. It is finished. If that's the start, how did Jesus finish? Well, look at this. Jesus is on the cross. He said a number of things. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said several things, but this is what he finally said. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What does that mean? It's a Greek word. It means to bring to a close, to complete, to fulfill. More than that, it means finished. It means to perform fully, to execute, to complete. But one of the main meanings of this word is that it means to perform the last act, which completes a process. Now, let me talk about one of the biggest struggles in the life of many teenagers: emptying the dishwasher. Now, you say to your children, when the dishes are dirty, I'd like you to put them in the dishwasher, not near the dishwasher. You know, it's like, well, but Mom, I left them in my bedroom and I stacked them neatly for you so that the next time you walked by, you could get them. No, they're not in the dishwasher. And then finally, they're in the dishwasher and the dishwasher is turned on and you simply say one simple instruction. Could you please empty the dishwasher? And you come back, sure enough, the dishwasher is empty, but where are all the dishes? On the counter. Suddenly, the glasses are with the plates are with the glasses, the pots are with the glasses. The silverware, where once all the knives and forks and spoons were separated, it looks like things were just dumped into the counter because it doesn't even close properly because there's all these things sticking up. To which you say, I thought I said to empty the dishwasher. And they said, well, it is empty, but it's not done. Jesus, on the other hand, when he said, it is finished, he said, this is the last thing that needed to be done. I took on flesh. I came from heaven. I walked and ministered on this earth for 3.5 years. I showed God's love. I taught God's word. I healed. I ministered to people. Now I must die. And when Jesus said, it is finished, what he said is that he had completed a process. And this is what we want to say. Number two, point one is this. Jesus, when he did this, Jesus finished. But more than that, he will continue to be finished. There's no other need for another Savior. When Jesus said, it is finished, it's done. It's finished. It's complete. You don't need another Savior. When Jesus died for you, he died fully and completely for you. When you receive Christ as your Savior, when you receive his forgiveness of sin, you don't need another Savior. Jesus said, it is finished, and it will continue to be finished. That's what this word means. But there's more. Notice, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. A single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And so this is what we can say. Not only is it finished, but Jesus sat down. What's it mean when the King of the universe sits down? It means it's under his control. It means there's nothing more he needs to do. It means that he is done. And nothing. There's no more battles to fight. There's no more wars to wage. In fact, we can put it this way. It's for all time, the death of Jesus. It's a single sacrifice. He is in control. He's simply waiting for you to come and surrender before him. That's what it means to give your life to Christ. That's what it means, Jesus from start to finish. He wasn't just an accident. He was the prophesied Messiah. His death was not a tragedy. It was the intentional will of God that we might receive salvation through it. But at the end of it, after he had offered this single sacrifice for sins, he sat down because there's nothing more for him to do. But now it's up to you. Will you receive his forgiveness? Will you receive his mercy? Will you come to him and surrender? That's our Jesus. And so Jesus, from start to finish, so much we could say. So many scriptures we could go through that talk about Christ's coming. His birthplace, Bethlehem. The way he would die, crucifixion. His teaching ministry, his serving ministry. That he would be despised and rejected. So much we could say. But the most important thing is this. If we can just go back one slide. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. He offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. And even if you were the only person in the world, he would still have offered it just for you. But there's more, and that's what next week is all about. Let's pray.